So it says here, fine, Avram gets to Eretz Yisrael, right? He goes, Hashem tells him to go, he goes. He's going all throughout the land. There's a famine. He left the Mitzrayim to live there. Right? It was very the famine was very strong. And then the whole episode with Sarai and Paro, etc. Okay, fine. So this is I think this Ramban surprises me a little bit. I mean, maybe some of you have heard of this Ramban. I bet some of you have, but. Like, knowing the Ramban, it's a bit surprising. Okay, so let's see. It says the Ramban, Vahira Abaretz. Hine, Avram, you just know, actually, even before we read the actual Ramban, look at the second Ramban here. This is the Ramban that just, four psukim earlier, introduces the idea of Maisa Avosim and Labanim. And then he says, I'm going to talk about this again and again in, like, all these parshios. So he says, Vayaver, what's the pasuk here? Avi, what you got in Vav? How do you say it?
Vav?
Yeah, what's the... Vayavor, okay, Vayavor, thank you. Vayavor Avram Beretz Ad Makom Shchem. Omer lecha klal tavenes habachol aparshios habos. B'inyan Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. I'm telling you this principle. B'inyan gadol hiskiru abosinu b'derech tzara v'amru. Chazal mentioned this idea but didn't elaborate. He said, kol ma she'ira l'avosim l'banim. Fine, whatever's going to happen to the avos is a sign to their children. B'lechein yarichu aksuvim b'sipor hamasos v'chafiros habeiros v'shar hamikrim. Therefore, the psukim elaborate about the travelings, about digging of wells, all sorts of issues that come up, all sorts of other episodes. Somebody could legitimately think these lechora, these details are unnecessary. But really, all these things are teaching you what's going to happen to the future for the Jewish people, because whatever happens to a Navi, one of the Avos, we're all Nevi'im, so from there you can understand that this is actually representing something that's going to happen to the children in the future. Okay, that's the Ramban's principle of Maisa Avosim Labanim. A lot to discuss there, but that's not our focus. So in light of that, let's look at the Ramban that I want to focus on. Back to Yud Beis Yud. Vayihira av Ba'aretz. Hine. Avram yarad leMitzrayim mipnei haraav lagursham lachios nafsho b'yemei habitzoris. Avram Avinu, he was having trouble supporting his household. There was a famine, and therefore he went to Mitzrayim. Why is Mitzrayim throughout Tanakh always able to withstand famines better than Eretz Yisrael? Because they have the Nile, exactly. Because they don't need the rain, as the psukim say explicitly. Exactly, they have more of a consistent water supply. Va'mitzrim ashku osam chinam lakaches es ishto, and the Mitzrim. Took advantage of them, you know, without any basis, by taking his wife. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu nakam nikmasam binagim gidolim. Hashem punished them by giving them these very intense makos, we'll call them, these nikmasam nigam gidolim. V'otziu misham b'miknem b'kesef v'zav, and eventually Avram, his household, were taken out of Mitzrayim with a lot of wealth. V'gam tziva alav paro anashim l'shalchem, and Paro sent of his servants, of his people, to lead them out. So this is hinting to the idea, again, in light of the Ramban's Yisod, Maisa Avosim Labanim, that the descendants of Avram Avinu, the Jewish people, are going to go down to Mitzrayim because of a famine. And the Mitzrim are going to oppress them, and they're going to take their women. As it says, all the daughters should live. This is so interesting. The Ramban says it there also. I think what we usually assume, why were the daughters able to survive? Because they weren't a threat to the authority, the leadership, they were just girls. But the Ramban says no, they had a more base motivation. They wanted to keep the girls so they could take the girls. It wasn't altruistic at all. They would take the girls for themselves. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu yinkom nikmasam b'negayim gedolim. Hashem's going to punish them with terrible plagues. Ad shiotziim b'kesev v'zav v'tzonu bakar mikne kaved mod. Until they're going to send them out with incredible wealth. They're going to take them and send them out. Everything, you know, piece by piece, whatever happened to Avram in this whole episode is parallel to what's going to happen to the children later on. It says it also in the Medrash, just like it says in the Mechilta or Tanchuma that we saw before. It also has this idea in the Medrash. Hashem says, do this, what's the word I'm looking for in English? What do you do to the path?
Pave.
Pave, I feel like there's another word. Yeah, pave is good. Okay, pave the way for your children. Okay. Okay, I just lost it. Okay, very good. At the motzi, kol ma'ase kasev Avram kasev Vana Avram kasev Yevra Aretz Yisrael kasev ki zeshna sayim Rav Aretz. Fine, good. Ad kam. Meaning, this is not surprising. This is classic Ramban. The next paragraph is where it gets a little bit takes a little bit of a turn. Vida ki Avram Avinu chata chet gadol bishkaga. Avram Avinu unintentionally did a terrible sin. Shehevi ishto hatzadekis b'michshal avon. He caused his tzadekis wife to be put in this terribly compromising position, to be taken by Paro. B'fnei pachdo pen yaragu. What does it say? It says that Avram Avinu was scared for himself. So what did he do? He put his wife in this position to they should think that she's available, and he knows that the mitzvah are shtufei zima. And Avram Avinu should have been concerned that maybe they're going to take her exactly as they did. And because of that, it was a terrible chait. Bishkaga, meaning obviously Avram didn't want anything to happen to Sarah. But it was still a chait. Vayelo luftach b'Hashem, shiatzilot oso bes ishto bes kol ha'shelo. He should have had bitachon in Hashem. Hashem is going to save him, protect him, and his wife, and his whole household. Kiyish be'elokim koach la'azor l'hatzav. Obviously Hashem is able. Gam b'yitzioso min ha'aretz. Furthermore, it's in the fact that he left in the first place because of the famine. That also was a mistake. Shenitztave aleh betchila. I'm not exactly sure what the word nitztave is doing here, meaning I guess that he was commanded initially to go to Eretz Yisrael. He shouldn't have left it. Even though he left it because of the famine, avon asher chata, that's called a chait, that's an avon. This is a pasuk somewhere, no? Hoshea, there you go, thank you. This is like it's a game that we try to figure out when the Ramban is quoting psukim. So there you go, thanks. Valamaisa says, Nigzra al zaro hagalos be'eretz mitzrayim b'yad paro. Says the Ramban, why this is like such a basic question. I feel like we don't always ask it, and when we do ask it, we don't have a good answer. Why did the Jewish people have to go down to Mitzrayim? What was the point? What did we do wrong? So says the Ramban, what happened was Avram Avinu's going down because of the famine when he wasn't supposed to have gone, when he's supposed to have trusted in Hashem, that caused the whole Shibud Mitzrayim. That's incredible. Almai says in Nigzra Zaral Hagalas Beretz Mitzrayim Biad Paro, but Makom Hamishpat is obviously pasuk. Makom Hamishpat Shama Haresha VaChet. In the place of the judgment is evil and sin. Meaning to say, it can't be Hashem is going to treat the Jewish people strictly and make them suffer unless there was some sort of chet behind the scenes. So where was the chet? Says Ramban, this was the chet. Wow. So says the Ramban, Avram Avinu did a double chet. He calls the first one Bishkaga. I don't know if he calls the second one Bishkaga. In going down to Mitzrayim, etzem, the fact of going down was a chait. Shouldn't have gone down in the first place. And second of all, to compromise Sarah Imenu, the tzadekes, to have her be in that vulnerable position, that was also a chait. Bishkaga. Okay, yeah.
What does he do with the Rashi though? Because Rashi, one of the Rashi says that Hashem was testing Avram because Hashem just commanded him before to stay in Eretz Canaan, and now he's telling him to go down. So,
the Rabban apparently has a different perspective. The Nisayan was not that he should not question Hashem. The Nisayan was that he should have stayed in Eretz Israel, according to the Ramban. But Achanam, you're right, it's a little bit different. Okay. I don't know the manita, maybe manita, but the fact that he is kind of putting Sarah into this vulnerable position for his own benefit was considered a chait.
No, because it's a hard meaning.
Yeah. We don't know what exactly Avram or the Bnei Yisrael is punished for in terms of that, but Achanami, I think he's saying that's a sin. But what he's saying, the fact they went down to Mitzrayim in the first place, that was what caused the.
If you say that Avram did the right thing, it's hard to understand the pasuk of Amanita.
Why would it be hard to understand?
Because why is that? It sounds like Avram Bechor is being self-centered.
Right. So you're saying...
Ramban there says, but Man Yitavli just means that
he can hold it. So it's going together with Chaisa Nafshi. It's read as one thing. But you're right. According to the Ramban, it's loved after that it was appropriate response. Achanami. Which is incredible. Okay. And then the Ramban, Lishitaso, I don't know if it's Lishitaso, but the Ramban later on the Parsha, look at the third Ramban on the sheet, a little just one-liner. So he says, "Vatanea sarai vativrach mipaneh." Right here, we got the Avi, we got it. Tes Zion Vav, or Akiva, whoever gets there first. Let's go. Yeah. Okay, very good. You're in Tesva. Akiva. Okay, right? Right, so the whole episode with Hagar, Vatikach, Sarah, Ishis, Avram, Esagar, Mitzvah, Shechasa, Miketz, Ezra, Shneimachav, Avram, okay, sorry, not that one. I gave you my shivcha, and she's now become pregnant, and she's I'm belittled in her eyes. Hashem should judge. So it says, "Vayomer Avram el Sarai hinish chazi biyadich." Fine, so take her back. Asila ato beinayich, vataneh Sarai. Sarai oppressed her, vatibrach mipenei. She ended up running away. Okay, so says the Ramban over there. Vataneh Sarai, vatibrach mipenei. Achata imenu biinui hazeh. Our foremother, Sarai imenu, sinned in the fact that she oppressed Hagar. Vegam Avram b'hanicho la'asos kein. Also Avram, when he let her do it, is also considered a chetz. V'shama Hashem el anya, v'nasan la ben shei pera adam la'anos zera Avram v'sara b'chol minei ha'inoi. Wow, Rachmana Litzlan. So says the Ramban, why did the Jewish people throughout history, Adayom Hazeh, unfortunately, suffer through the descendants of Hagar, of Yishmael? So says the Ramban, because the whole, if they would have been more accepting of her and Sarah would have been less oppressive of her, that never would have happened. It's all because she oppressed her, and Mida Kenegan Mida, her descendants now are going to oppress the descendants of Avram and Sarah. Wow. That's what the Ramban says. So let's talk a little bit about these Rambans. These Rambans, I don't know about you guys, to me they're a little bit surprising. There's a general discussion. I feel like it's not so much in America, and maybe I think things have kind of cooled down in Israel, like people have kind of establish which camps they're in, and they're in their camps. But this was like a big deal 10, 20 years ago. In Hebrew, it was called the issue of Tanakh begove naim. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that term. So we approach Tanakh, gove naim means at eye height, meaning to say, are we viewing the figures and stories in Tanakh like Elo? We're familiar with these types of people, their personalities we can relate to. They're people that maybe we've seen around in the neighborhood, and we see they're good, they're bad, they have flaws, they have things that are good about them, but they're people that we can relate to. Or do we say that the figures in Tanakh are so holy and so beyond us that trying to read within them our flaws or our issues and saying they're sinning and they're making mistakes is just a reflection of where we are, but that's not where they were, and therefore we can't relate to them, we can't criticize them, we can't understand them. So what's that?
Refers
as well criticizes. Similar to, I think he might even quote the Ramban. I don't know, but I think by Hachanami. So now the question is, what's our approach to this? Because like, the Ramban is obviously one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Gedolei Hamesora. He is one of the Gedolei Harishonim. So l'chori, we wouldn't expect. I don't know. Growing up in elementary school and high school, I don't know. It could be some people in their high schools. It's different now. But like my Rabban were all like yeshivish-ish, you know. Nobody's criticizing Avram and Sarah in sixth grade. Like that wouldn't happen. It's not the Mesorah. It's not what I'm used to. And now the question is, well, is that right or is that wrong? The Ramban comes along and is criticizing the Avos. So is that legitimate? Meaning, how should we relate to this? So the way I am comfortable with it's based on this perspective of Liechtenstein. I feel like I know others have said such an idea. I was trying to Google like where Liechtenstein said it. So this is like a summary of a sicha he gave on Shabbos. So like it wasn't written by him. Somebody was summarizing it afterwards. But let's see how Rav Liechtenstein says it. So he has the following based on a sicha of Rav Liechtenstein. Fine. We must adopt a different. First, he like kind of says there's two camps and two understandings, and we're going to have a third approach. I feel like Rav Rosenzweig, and even maybe it's also Rav Lichtenstein, who knows? Rav Rosenzweig has said about like Iyun, that when it comes to a sugya, the most extreme shitas are the easiest to understand, but the hardest to justify. What does that mean? That means that when you have, let's say, a couple Gemaras, and each one is kind of saying something a little bit different, so you have one Shita that says, this Gemara is the Iker. The other Shita will say, this Gemara is the Iker. So those Shitas are the easiest to understand, because it's just one approach. But it's hardest to justify in the sense that, but when you take the entire evidence together, l'choro, it's not so simple to say just that's a black and white issue. So I feel like that's true for a lot of things. L'chora, this topic as well. So says Rav Liechtenstein, we must adopt a different approach. On the one hand, we cannot overlook the sins of Gedolei Yisrael. But at the same time, we may not look at these sins in isolation from their specific context. Meaning to say, we just see who are these people who are sinning. I think that's what Rav Liechtenstein means. The Medrash states clearly that Moshe sinned. Meaning, I don't know, kol ha-bali de-kas, bali de-taos. The Pesukim say he's being punished for Asher, what's the pasuk? Lo kidashtem es shmi. Okay. King David, David HaMelech certainly sinned, as clearly evidenced by Nathan and Nabi's harsh critique and David's own confession. His process of tshuva, I'm using the translation freely. His process of tshuva is recorded in detail in Bismar Nun Aleph of Tehillim. Although the Gemara discusses, Ayin Sham last year, the Shana Shanabek guys, discusses whether or not Bathsheba technically had the status of married woman, right? Kol Ayotze Le Tzva David, right? In any case, David's act clearly involved a sin, a fact which cannot be ignored. Regarding Reuben as well, we are clearly dealing with a sin. The Gemara tells us he didn't sleep with Bilhah, the Baalbel, right, the beds. Clearly, however, Reuben sinned, as indicated by Yaakov's deathbed rebuke. Unstable as water, pachas kamayim, help us out here. Okay, shkayach. Okay, good. So they're being criticized. However, although we cannot deny these sins, we must view them in light of Chazal's overall attitude towards these personalities. You know, who are these people? Generally, Chazal and the Rishonim relate to Moshe with obvious reverence. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam speaks at length about Moshe's uniqueness over all other prophets, going so far as to say that Moshe was like the angels, and that he was perpetually ready to receive prophecy. It wasn't only when he was sleeping. At any moment, he was so connected to Ruchnius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could just be conversing with him, as it were. The Rambam also devotes one of the 13 principles of faith to the singularity of Moshe Rabbeinu. In truth, God himself spells out the praise of Moshe, right? Okay, and he beholds the likeness of God. Chazal exhibit the same respect and reverence for other Gedolei Yisrael as well, depicting them as giants of character indeed. The Avos are the Avos. We must relate to these Gedolim in the same manner as Chazal. Just as we have a tradition of Halacha, so too do we have a tradition regarding these matters. We have a Mesorah that the Avos, the Shvatim, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, these people were giants. That's part of our Mesorah. Just as we do not deviate even one iota from Chazal's specifications regarding the four species on Sukkot, or in Arbaminim, for example, so we may never stray from their approach towards the personality of David HaMelech. We must view Moshe, David, and others as giants in the full sense of the term. However, we cannot relate to them as superhuman beings, bereft of any emotion or human experience. Meaning, I feel like this is also something that, growing up, I don't think I appreciated this next line, okay? We are still dealing with human beings, and they may even have experienced stronger drives than we, right? That whoever is greater than his fellow has a greater evil inclination. Even these people can stumble occasionally, for they too struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Were Avram not to have had any human emotions or drives, and would thus have taken his son, right, the Kedis Yitzchak, to be sacrificed, just as one would an animal, then a Kedis Yitzchak would not have constituted as monumental a display of faith and religious resolve as it did. It would have lost its significance. We're in the middle of the piece. It's before and it continues afterwards. But what's Rabbi Lichtenstein saying? Obviously, Chalila, to relate to Avram, to Sarah, to the Avos, to the Shvatim, to David HaMelech, on and on and on, as we would ourselves, oh yeah, sometimes I get angry too, and Sarah also apparently got angry. We all get angry sometimes. Or maybe, you know, sometimes I have trouble having such great bitachon. I'm like, kind of like Avram. So that's a terrible distortion. That's blasphemous. Meaning the Avos were incredibly holy people. Moshe Rabbeinu were incredibly holy people. People beyond our comprehension of how holy they were. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, though, they weren't superhuman. They're not people who don't struggle. They're not people who don't have nisyonos. Everybody has their struggles. Rabbi Lichtenstein does not say this here, but I think it could be he would agree. Meaning, it's the Gemara that kola omer ex chata eino elatoe. And how does that fit in? David HaMelech wasn't chata, and Reuben wasn't chata, and all these people weren't chata. So the way I understand those Gemaras is that what we're saying is that don't take this story at face value that it's exactly as it sounds. Meaning they did a chet, they did something wrong, but the Torah is presenting it in a more highlighted, extreme kind of way to show you that on their level, so that's what, it's as if for us doing that, that's what it was for them. But lav dafka, it's as extreme as it first sounds. But that doesn't mean they didn't do a chet. So where does this all leave us? Like, what do we take away from this? So first of all, just this basic issue of how to relate to the Avos. So I think when the Ramban's coming and saying that Avram Avinu was chata chet gadol, that Sarah Yimenu, and again, according to the Ramban, ad kedei kach was this intense that it led to Galus Mitzrayim and suffering from the Ishmaelim, or incredibly intense parts of Jewish history. But at the same time, it doesn't mean we relate to them as like us. Oh, you know, we make mistakes. They may make mistakes. The Avos were incredible spiritual giants. They're people that we can't even understand how holy they were. That's on the one hand. But at the same time, as the Ramban says, they're people who made mistakes. They're people who struggled. And that is something I feel like I didn't understand when I was younger, in sixth grade, in high school. Like, you really think for Avraham Avinu at the Akedah, like, he's really nervous. Maybe his heart's pounding. Maybe he's just like, he has a certain moment of struggle. Like, it's really the right thing to do. But that doesn't make them less great. That makes them even greater. Their spiritual level that they achieved was not just given to them. It was something that they achieved because of their work, because of their efforts. And this is also something, we can take it back to us. At the same time, we don't relate to the Avos as making the same exact mistakes we did, having the same exact struggles we did. But we do learn from there that everybody from Avram Avinu to Moshe Rabbeinu to David HaMelech, everybody makes mistakes. Literally, everybody makes mistakes, whatever the mistakes are. And they're like, everybody makes mistakes. Hashem does not expect us to be perfect. Hashem does not expect us to not struggle. And we sometimes will falter. That's part of being a human being. We're going to make mistakes. And we're supposed to learn from that and move on from there. And just also, as one other takeaway, this, again, I'm not the biggest reader in issues of comparative religion. I don't know so much about these things. But the little that I do know, this is unique to the Jewish people. My wife, there's a new project from like the past like 2 years or something from the OU of Nachiomi. I mean, it's not a new project, but like now it's like initiative. Like women have like shiurim online. You know, any of your mothers or sisters, whatever, doing this. So like my wife, who like hasn't learned, let's say, Shoptim or Malachim since like high school, is like, these stories are terrible. Like everybody, the Jewish people are making so many terrible mistakes. The idea that the Tanakh does not cover over, does not gloss over any of our weaknesses. From Avraham Avinu to Moshe Rabbeinu to David HaMelech to the entire Jewish people in Shoftim and Malachim, that is incredibly unique. Meaning it testifies to the MS of our Mesorah, that Hashem, we're not trying to make anybody or any people superhuman. All of us have stronger moments, have weaker moments. Hashem does not present us or expect us to be perfect. That's part of our challenge, is here to relate to the Avos as incredible spiritual giants. At the same time, people who struggled, who had nisyonos, and just like we have nisyonos, not necessarily the same nisyonos, but unfortunately sometimes they weren't perfect, and so too we're sometimes not perfect, but we can always look to them to be inspirations to what it means to be really gedolim, and hopefully little by little we'll get there. Okay, Adkar.
Yeah.